So we continue the last year of Faustina's life. It's 1937. He died that year. So last week, we continue just with paragraph last week. I think that's in, might be in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. I pray prostrate in the form of a cross for the whole world. Jesus' mortal life was coming to an end, I think this afternoon. Remember, or I call it Good Friday, no? That's him. I heard his 7 words. Then he looked at me and said, "Beloved daughter of my heart, you are my solace amidst terrible torments." Consolation. Jesus is commanding me to make a novena before the Feast of Mercy. And today, I'm to begin it for the conversion of the whole world and for the recognition of the divine mercy. Word of Jesus. So that every soul will praise my goodness, I desire trust for my creatures, encourage souls to place great trust in my faithless mercy. Let the weak, sinful soul have no fear to approach me. For even if it had more sins than there are grains of sand in the world, all would be drowned in the unmeasurable depths of my mercy. You have to ask. When Jesus had given up his last breath, my soul dissolved from the pain, and for a long time I could not come to myself. I found some relief in tears. The one whom my heart had come to love has died. Will anyone understand my grief? In the evening, over the radio, I heard hymns, that is, psalms sung by priests. I burst into tears, and all of the pain was renewed in my soul. And I wept sorrowfully, unable to find appeasement in this pain. Then I heard a voice in my soul, "Do not cry. I'm not suffering anymore. And for the faithfulness with which you accompanied me in my sufferings and death, your own death will be a solemn one, and I will accompany you in that last hour. Beloved pearl of my heart, I see your love so pure, purer than that of the angels, and all the more so, because you keep fighting." That's important. Not taking for granted. Eh? You have to work hard. "For your sake, I bless the world. I see your efforts to please me, and they delight my heart." After these words, I wept no more, but thanked the Heavenly Father for having sent his Son and for the work of the redemption of mankind. I made an hour of adoration in thanksgiving for the graces which had been granted me and for my Eulys. Eulys also is a great grace of condemnation. It's a moment of grace. "I have been ill for 4 months, but I do not recall having wasted so much as a minute of it. All has been for God and souls. I want to be faithful to Him everywhere." During this adoration, I realized the utter care and goodness that Jesus had been lavishing upon me and the protection He has given me against all evil. I thank you, especially Jesus, for visiting me in my solitude. And I thank you also for inspiring my superiors to send me for this treatment. Give them, Jesus, the omnipotence of your blessing and compensate them for all the losses incurred because of me. Today, Jesus is bidding me to comfort and measure a certain soul who has opened herself to me and told me about her difficulties. This soul is pleasing to the Lord, but she is not aware of it. God is keeping her in deep humility. I've carried out the Lord's directives. O my most sweet Master, good Jesus, I give you my heart. You shaped and molded after your liking. O faithfulness, love, I open the calyx of my heart to you, like a rosebud to the freshness of dew. To you alone, my betrothed, is known the fragrance of the flower of my heart. Let the fragrance of my sacrifice be pleasing to you. O immortal God, my everlasting delight, already here on earth, you are my heaven. So with Jesus, we are in heaven. Keep Jesus. You don't have to wait. Now, today, here, with Jesus, is heaven. May every beat of my heart be a new hymn of praise to you, O Holy Trinity. Had I as many hearts as there are drops of water in the ocean or grains of sand in the whole world, I would offer them all to you, O my love, O treasure of my heart. Whomever I shall meet in my life, no matter who they are, they may be, I want to draw them all to love you. Make people come close to Jesus. Make people love Jesus. This is our mission. O my Jesus, my beauty, my repose, my soul master, judge, savior, and spouse, all in one. I know that one title will modify the other. I've entrusted everything to your mercy. My Jesus, support me when difficult and stormy days come, days of testing, days of ordeal, when suffering and fatigue begin to oppress my body and my soul. Sustain me, Jesus, and give me strength to bear suffering. Set a guard upon my lips that they may address no word of complaint to creatures. Your most merciful heart is all my hope. I have nothing for my defense, but only your mercy. In it lies all my trust. March 27, 1937. Today I return from Pranik after nearly 4 months of treatment. For everything I give, great thanks to God. I make use of every moment to glorify God. When I went into the chapel for a moment, I realized how much I would have to suffer and struggle with regard to this whole matter. O Jesus, my strength, you alone can help me, grant me fortitude. March 28th, Resurrection. During the Mass of Resurrection, I saw the Lord in beauty and splendor and said to me, my daughter, peace be with you. He blessed me and disappeared, and my soul was filled with gladness and joy beyond words. My heart was fortified for struggle and suffering. Today, I had a conversation with Father Andres, and he recommended great caution in the matter of this sudden appearance of the Lord Jesus. When he was speaking about divine mercy, some sort of strength and power entered my heart. My God, I want so much to express everything, and I'm so very unable to do so. Father Andres tells me that the Lord Jesus is very generous in communicating himself to souls. And on the other hand, he is, so to speak, stingy. Although God's generosity is great, said Father, be careful anyway, because this sudden appearance arose suspicion. Although personally I do not see anything wrong here or anything contrary to faith, be a little more careful. And when Mother Superior comes, you can talk to her about these things. So the spiritual director is still conscious, no? Sometimes all these movements, the devil can disguise as the Lord Jesus, tell you something strange. So the Father is very conscious about this. March 29, 1937. During meditation today, I saw the Lord in great beauty, and he said to me, "Peace be to you, my daughter." My whole soul trembled with love for him, and I said, "O Lord, although I loved you with all my heart, please do not appear to me, because my spiritual director has told me that these sudden appearances of yours arouse the suspicion that you could be an illusion." He tells Jesus, "Please, come on, don't tell me, let me see." It's very genuine, huh? Don't let me see. Can be. No? Isn't very interesting. "And although I love you more than my own life, I know that you are my Lord and God who are communing with me. I must above all be obedient to my confessor. So although you want to see me, I can't see you now because my spiritual there is suspicion whether you are right or you are the real appearance." And then Jesus listened to my words with gravity and kindness, and he spoke this word to me: "Tell your confessor that I commune with your soul in such an intimate manner because you do not steal my gifts, and this is why I pour all these graces upon your soul. Because I know that you will not pour them for yourself, but as a sign that his prudence is agreeable to me, you shall not see me. And I will not appear to you in this way until you have given him an account of what I have just said." So this time it's not appearance, just words to his soul, to her soul. Tell him. "Until he gives the green light, then I'll appear to you." Jesus is obedient, eh? Obedient to the confessor, to the human spiritual director. Jesus is obedient. April 2nd, 1937. In the morning during Mass, I heard these words: "Tell the superior that I want adoration to take place here for the intention of imploring mercy for the world." "Oh my Jesus, you know, Lord, what my heart is going through. Oh my strength, you can do all things. And though I expose myself to great sufferings, I shall always remain faithful to you because I am sustained by your singular grace." April 3, 1937. Today the Lord said to me, "Tell the Reverend Confessor, properly Father Theodore, that I decided on the Feast of my Mercy, he delivered a sermon about my faithfulness mercy. I fulfilled God's wish, but the priest did not want to acknowledge the Lord's message. When I left the confessional, I heard these words: Do as I tell you and be at peace. This matter is between him and me. You will not be held responsible for this." Although the priest doesn't trust much, doesn't believe much. No. This is Father Theodore. April 4, 1937, Low Sunday, that is the Feast of Mercy. In the morning after Holy Communion, my soul was immersed in the Godhead. I was united to the three divine persons in such a way that when I was united to Jesus, I was simultaneously united to the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is experience. Difficult to distinguish Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as we are three. They're so united. When you know, united with Jesus, you're united with God the Father. Same, this experience. My soul was flooded with joy beyond understanding, and the Lord gave me to experience the whole ocean of abysses of His faithless mercy. Oh, if only souls would want to understand how much God loves them. All comparisons, even if they were the most tender and the most human, are but a mere shadow when set against the reality. God's mercy, can't imagine. When I was united to the Lord, I came to know how many souls are glorifying God's mercy. When I went for adoration, I heard these words. My beloved daughter, write down these words, that today my heart has rested in this convent, the Krakow House. Tell the world about my mercy and my love. The flames of mercy are burning me. I decide to pour them out upon human souls. Jesus for fire. He's only giving out. He needs acceptance, you know? He needs people recognition. Otherwise, you can't get grace. Oh, what pain they cause me because they do not want to accept them. This is painful. Imagine in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, you know, sweating with blood. It's painful not because his sorrow is his pain, but the hardness of men like a stone. My daughter, do whatever is within your power to spread devotion to my mercy. I will make up for what you lack. Tell aging mankind to snuggle close to my merciful heart, and I will fill it with peace. The Apostle John, close to the bosom of Jesus, one mind, one heart. Tell all people, my daughter, that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. So when you receive the grace of God, it's not just kept you for yourself. You radiate out. You see? Jesus will work, but that will keep him. You don't keep him, how can you give him? It's interesting, eh? The first time I hear this word, keep this word, this fire, this light, and you illuminate. It's beautiful. Tell daughter that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. Jesus worked through us. Souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives as a tender mother, her infant. And at the hour of death, I will not be judged for them, but a merciful Savior. At the last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. Happy is the soul that during its lifetime immerses itself in the fountain of mercy, because justice will have no hold on it. So the Blessed Sacrament, Eucharist, is the sign of God's mercy for us, human beings. Write this. Everything that exists is enclosed in the bowels of my mercy, more deeply than infant in this mother's womb. How painfully distrust of my goodness wounds me. Sins of distrust wound me most painfully. Sins of distrust wound me most painfully. If your heart is still, perhaps it hurts. Your perhaps hurts, Jesus said. During Holy Mass, the directress of novices played a beautiful hymn about the mercy of God and then asked the Lord to give her a deeper knowledge of the abyss of this inconceivable mercy. So she's praying for people that they can understand. She prayed beautifully. Maybe doesn't have a heart, have a beautiful finger, you know. So she prayed for her that she can feel the hymn that can praise the mercy of God. When I was saying good night to the Lord before retiring, I heard the words, "Host, dear to my heart, for your sake, I bless the earth." What the Bible host? Is it this word means this word? That's the word of Jesus. Host, dear to my heart, for your sake, bless the earth. Anyway, April 7, 1937. Today, when a certain person entered the chapel, I felt a terrible pain in my hands, my feet, in my side. Stigmata. Just as Jesus did during his passion. This lasted only a few brief moments. But in this way, I recognized a soul who was not in God's grace. She suffered so much for that soul. On one occasion, I saw the Holy Father reflecting about this matter. Presumably, the establishment of the Feast of Divine Mercy. The Holy Father is the Pope. See, the Pope is considering where to put this. No. April 10, 1937. Today, Mother Superior gave me an article about the Divine Mercy to read and review. There was also a reproduction of the image that has been painted. The article appeared in the Vilnius Weekly and was sent to us in Krakow by Father Michael Sopoko, the zealous apostle of the Divine Mercy. In this article, I included words that the Lord Jesus has spoken to me, some of them quoted verbatim. You know, she's in the convent, she can't do anything. You just pray. When I took the issue of the weekly into my hands, an arrow of love pierced my soul. For the sake of your ardent desires, I'm hastening the Feast of Mercy. My spirit burst into such a powerful flame of love that it seemed to me that I was totally dissolved in God. The beautiful soul is spreading this work of divine mercy throughout the world is by his deep humility, very pleasing to God. Before major grace, my soul undergoes a test of patience, for I feel the grace but do not yet possess it. So when the grace comes to us, we can experience some darkness also, preparation for the grace to come into our soul. My spirit burns with impatience, but the hour has not yet come. These moments are very extraordinary that it is difficult to describe it. April 13, 1937. Today I must stay in bed all day. I had a violent fit of coughing, which left me so weak that I have no strength to walk. My spirit is eager to do God's work, but physical strength has left me. I cannot penetrate your actions at this moment, O Lord. Therefore, I keep repeating with a loving act of the will, do with me as you please. So, even she's weak, just tell Jesus, okay, let me be weak. Just follow your will. Just you want to be. Do everything that what God wants. Although the temptations are strong, a whole wave of doubts beats against my soul, and discouragement stands by, ready to enter into that, into the act. The Lord, however, strengthens my will, against which all the attempts of the enemy are shattered as if against a rock. So, there are always temptations. Stay with the Lord. I see how many actual graces God grants me. These support me ceaselessly. I'm very weak, and I attribute everything solely to the grace of God. When one day I resolved to practice a certain virtue, I lapsed into the vice opposed to that virtue 10 times more frequently than on other days. In the evening, I was reflecting on why today I had lapsed so extraordinarily, and I heard the words, "You were counting too much on yourself and too little on me." She just putting the strength on herself. That's why when you practice one virtue, the contrary, 10 times hard, 10 times strong against her, because you trust her strength. You have to live in His hand. And I understood the cause of my lapses. Sudden return to health. After I had written a letter to Father Sopoko on Sunday, April 11, I suddenly became so very ill that, so very ill that I did not send that letter, but waited for a clear sign of God's will. However, my health got so bad that I had to go to bed. The coughing racked me so much that it seems to me that if this repeats a few more times, it will surely be the end of my life. April 14, I feel so bad that I barely managed to get up to assist at Holy Mass. I felt much worse than I did at the time they sent me for treatment. There was wheezing, and there were rattling noises in my lungs and strange pains. When I received Holy Communion, I don't know why, but it was as if something were urging me to this prayer. And I began to pray in this manner: Jesus, may your pure and healthy blood circulate in my ailing organism, and may your pure and healthy body transform my weak body, and may your healthy and vigorous life prompt within me. If it is your holy will, then I should set about the work in question, and this will be a clear sign of your holy will for me. So I repeat these words, if you can remember, after Holy Communion, tell Jesus the same thing. Jesus, may your pure and healthy blood circulate in my ailing organism, and may your pure and healthy body transform my weak body, and may a healthy and vigorous life trapped within me, and which is your holy will, that I should set about the work in question. And this will be a clear sign of your holy will for me. Therefore, giving herself totally to the will of God. As I was praying this way, I suddenly felt as if something were jotting my whole organism, and in an instant, I felt completely well. Jesus' blood, body and blood, into her heart, in her body, completely well. My breath is clear, as if there had never been anything the matter with my lungs and feel no pain. And this is a sign for me that I should set about the work for divine mercy. So you see, although at times we are weak, or we say we fail so many times, but Jesus is as if to telling Faustina, you trust so much in yourself. So let God, let Jesus work in us.